are listening to the Elephant in the Room podcast with your host, Sutta Singh. Each week, we will bring you a diverse range of inspiring speakers on issues of inequality and inequity. You will hear stories about fairness, justice, belonging, and about best practice for creating a more inclusive workplace. So, if you are an individual or leader interested in a fairer, equitable, compassionate society and workplace, this podcast is for you.
For this week's episode, I spoke with three friends from school who are now a part of the Indian diaspora in Canada and USA. I'm grateful to my guests, Anita Gupta, Poonam Mathur, and Archana Bhatt, for having this conversation with me. I'd been planning this episode for World Day for Cultural Diversity on 21st May, and we're a bit late for that. But discussions around culture cannot be limited to just one day. For the diaspora, it is often central to their identity. So listen to this episode as we talk about culture, fitting in, stereotypes, and belonging. Welcome to the Elephant in the Room podcast. Thank you, Archana, Poonam, and Anita for being on this episode. Really appreciate all of you waking up early on a Saturday morning to make time for this conversation. So my first question to you is, as an Indian diaspora, what does culture mean to you and how important is it to you? Should we start with Anita?
Indian culture to me means our values of respecting each other, respecting what we have, and living in peace and harmony. That's what I consider Indian culture.
Okay. Archana?
Yeah, sure. So it's a very similar definition, Sudha. To me, it is a set of values, like Anita has pointed out, which we carry within us. Our traditions, the dialects that we speak, our customs, it pretty much encompasses our religion. We can't take it out of that. The food we eat, the music which we listen to, or the instruments that we play. So that all contributes or makes up our culture in my mind. And I think to me, culture is really important because it gives us a sense of identity. It makes us the people who we are today. I think it builds the community in which we live. And the next step to building the community, of course, it makes up the nation, who we are, wherever we are, whichever part of the world we are in. So culture is really very, very important to me.
Poonam?
My thoughts are along the same lines. I think it's my core value system is my culture to me. And yes, food and music are a very large part of it. But I also feel that as the Indian diaspora, we have certain traits that we were raised with, you know, respect, mutual respect, like she mentioned, and humility and gratitude. I think we really practice that. And for me, culture is very important because it helps me create a bridge from our past generations to us, to our future generations. So my children have that link to their. So I find that's very important that they have a sense of identity as well. And that's not lost in the whole process of migration here.
This is also interesting. We were all at school together and some of us spent some time together at college. And then we found ourselves in different sort of parts of the world. And that's why we're having this conversation some 30, 40 years after school to figure out where we are and how we feel about it. So as migrants, there is this huge pressure on us to try to fit in and also be invisible. And I think that's also part of the South Asian trait, Indian South Asian trait. What was your experience when you first moved? Poonam, would you like to go first?
My experience was very unique because I think Canada really allowed all different cultures to flourish and there was no need to be invisible as such. In fact, I found there was such a large community here, which was something I did not expect. And there was such a large celebration of each festival and everything being part of the mainstream that I did not feel the need to be invisible. Yes, there were certain things that you had to be careful about. Like I had a problem explaining to people our family hierarchy that we work with, which is so specific to the Indian way, and the gender-based roles in the family. That was something I found very difficult to explain. And I think that part of it, I would say I kept invisible. But other than that, I think Canada was very welcoming to all cultures, so I did not feel the need to be invisible.
Archana, what was your experience?
Yeah, so I came here, gosh, it was more than what, 28, 30 years ago. But I came here as a student. So as a student, like any other student, you know, I had the social anxiety. Am I going to fit in here? How do you interact with the people? And you try to a certain extent, then you develop coping mechanisms. So my coping mechanism was just interact with the Indian community. So for the first 2 years, the interaction was only around the social circle within the Indian community. So I didn't feel any difference whether I was in India or whether I was here. After 2 years, when I joined the workforce, I did face like a stereotype anxiety where there's certain norms which is practiced in the workplace here, which they deem acceptable, which I was not a part of. And at that point of time, in the initial phases, I just chose to withdraw from the public space, just socialize within your own community. So my main interaction in the first few years coming as an immigrant was just socializing within the Indian community. That was my coping mechanism. So yes, I felt I did not fit in initially. And this was just my coping mechanism, just to be among our community.
That's so interesting. Anita?
So pretty similar to Archana, I came as a student, single, landed in Oklahoma, where the only Indian kind of community is the students there and professors. Luckily, I had my uncle's friend's family who welcomed me, and the Indian Student Association was pretty strong. So they did help me with a job and stuff. So like Archana, I associated in the Indian students mostly, but being in civil/environmental engineering, very few Indian kids make it into that stream. So I was forced to. It was good because my lab partners or my research people who I had to share offices with, and the research assistant or teaching assistant, they were white, they were Chinese. So I did get a good mix to offset my daytimes with them in the evenings. And again, you go back to your roommates and they're Indian. 2 years later, being in civil engineering, my first job, like this is like hilarious. I got a job in East Texas. Now, East Texas is really countryside. They eat gizzards, they eat livers. And here I was vegetarian. And I had really long, straight hair down my back. And people used to be like, where are you from? Because they've never seen a species like me, like never. So they used to call it olive skin color. They used to call me, are you Indian? And I initially didn't realize. I used to say, yes. And then one of my white friends, Mike, he said, you need to start telling them your dots, not feathers. I'm like, what's that? Like he said, dots, not feathers. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So every time I've been saying, yes, I'm Indian, they were assuming American Indian. And so then I found my ways around it. I was probably the only Indian in a 200-mile radius for them. And working on the construction sites of the highways and stuff, it was just difficult. And being a woman, being vegetarian, but then, you know, work myself out of those situations, making good friends and being comfortable. So yes, at times I was invisible, meaning try to keep to my identity as much as I could and push my way saying, no, this is who I am. And then made it back into Dallas to work. And again, I think I was one of four Indians among 500 odd people. So I've had a good mix going about the whole time.
It sounds something like my experience also. But it also sounds like as human beings, our default is that if you are uncomfortable in a situation and if you have a fallback option, which is what you had as a student with the Indian communities, you tend to fall back on them rather than go out and make friends. And I think things haven't changed because it remains the same. We tend to socialize more amongst our own communities than outside communities. And it could be a very cultural thing because we are, I think, very friendly, loud. We like to talk. We like to engage a bit too much, maybe. I'm not sure about that. So what is that one stereotype about your culture that really annoys you? You know, IT person, very docile, or even gender stereotypes, you know, that maybe Indian women can't do this or can't do that. Archana, would you like to go?
when I came here initially and started working and just interacting with society, it's really the myopic view of the Indian culture. So yeah, oh, India is a land of elephants. There are tigers roaming around. There's a lot of poverty there. You have arranged marriages. Is it one language or how many languages you speak? Oh, worst of all is, you know, yeah, India is Bollywood. They just assume that you cannot speak English well, or you don't have the level of education that everyone has here. But as they start interacting with you in the workplace or even in the community, they realize, look, not only can you interact with them very well, but you're very well versed in a lot of subjects. Yeah. So really what really annoyed me is the lack of education. That's the assumption people made. They think you're just off the boat and you can't speak the language. You don't understand what they're saying, but that's not really the case. I think when you land here as a culture, we are more reserved. We are not outspoken at the get-go. We think about things before just blurting it out in a public space. So that's just part of our culture, and that's who we are. That does not in any way indicate that we have a lack of education or we are any less. But yeah, again, that comes with time and interacting with society. Now, of course, the country has changed so much, and we appreciate all cultures here. And that's the beauty of it. But yes, when I first came here, that was my experience.
Poonam?
Mine was very similar. People were very surprised that I spoke such good English, especially at work. So they were always very surprised as to how come you speak such good English. And it's hard to explain to them. So that was one annoying stereotype. But like Archana said, that's changed a lot over the years. And it's very different now, of course. And I think the other stereotype I would say is the poverty part, because I remember even when that movie Slumdog Millionaire came out, somehow they assumed that all of India is the slum. And people were actually angry here and saying, how can you let your country be like this? And how can you have so much poverty? I mean, that movie really influenced a lot of people here, and they had this crazy stereotype about India. So it's very hard to address that. And now, of course, with all the news they see on COVID, I mean, people still view India, unfortunately, in a different light. And they ask these questions to which we have no answers as to why does your government not do something? Why do you people not do something about the poverty? So I feel it's a stereotype. Of course, these are big issues, but
Every country has issues.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely. And I think this is to do with how India is represented in the Western media. Mm-hmm. I think it's more engaging when you have poverty porn. Mm-hmm. And I did not watch Slumdog Millionaire because I was so annoyed about it. I thought, what the hell? It's great to have an uplifting story, but there are many uplifting stories about people really doing very well. And it's not just an accident. Anita, what are your views?
So, of course, same, like, you know, English or poverty. But one thing, like, stereotype is, oh, recent TV series about matchmaking. That's a big thing. They are like, oh, how can you just meet somebody for 5 minutes and get married? So that's a big stereotype. But in my opinion, they have a valid point because seriously, like, I was so against it. And that is part of the reason why I wanted to come here, because my mom had passed away and my dad was looking to get me married. And then I thought, let me just do my master's in the United States because I just want to escape all that. So they do have a valid point on it because I feel the same. And luckily, I found him. Funny story in my case is I just knew him for a month and we decided to get married. So it's not that different. And even though we are very culturally the same, he's also a Rajasthani and so am I. There are a lot of nuances where we are a little different. But luckily, the food and the clothing and the traditions and the culture of the festivals have all been the same. So it was pretty easy to adjust that way. But yes, big taboo we have is the arranged marriages, I think. Yeah. And media has helped fuel it even more.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this new series that was out and horrible. Again, I just can't abide by them for sort of reinforcing the stereotype. And it does happen. But there is a large number of people who make their own decisions. Different parts of India are so different. It's like one continent over there. But I think things are changing. But any character from the media who's like a stereotypical Indian guy who you hate watching on TV?
I think, Sudha, it's improving. Indian character, I saw, was on a show I watch, like I binge watch it over and over again. It's called Schitt's Creek. I don't know if you've
seen
it. It's called Schitt's Creek. And I love that show. So there's an Indian character in that.
The estate agent. Like,
yeah, the real estate agent. So he's very typical. He's like a stereotypical Indian guy. But because it's a comedy, you don't mind it. But of course, if you start analyzing it, then you're like, why are they showing him like this? Such an annoying character. You know, he's a real estate agent. He's a photographer on the side. And I guess I didn't take offense to it because it's a comedy.
It's a great show.
But in the past, there have been, especially in all of the Hollywood movies and some of the shows, I think the way they show an Indian character has been very stereotypical. But that's changing again with so many Indians coming into the scene. There's another show, we have a local show called Kim's Convenience. It's about a Korean family that runs a convenience store. It's, again, hilarious. You must watch it. So they have some Indian characters. In fact, one of the daughter's ex-boyfriends is an Indian guy. And that, I found those characters so true to all our people. Like, so that's what I feel. It's definitely changing. And they're portraying Indians as how they're meant to be. And we can laugh about it too. So it's nice.
Yeah, that's nice. Archana? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, one of them, what I can recollect, is a stand-up comedian, Russell Peters. So, those are really funny. I laugh too. But some of them are like, you know, wait a second, that was probably 40 years ago. That's not the Indian today. Mm-hmm. So, to emphasize on the accent and to emphasize on just how we interact with each other. Yes, it could be possible that that was true many, many years ago, but that's not the India today. The India today is changed very much. And as a culture, we have changed. We have our core values, like Poonam has pointed out, but sometimes seen runs of a show, I'm like, no. And I just turn it off and I'm like, no, that's not who we are. And of course, you have to see the influence on the kids because these shows are available to our children and it affects them too.
We also tend to socialize within our own communities and celebrate our own festivals. Did you find it difficult to settle and make friends outside of the community? How was that experience? Anita, would you like to start?
Yeah, I have a lot of Indian friends. So my book club or my festivals and stuff is a lot of Indian community. But all my gym friends are very diverse. I have African American, white, Chinese, Korean, Jews, Catholic, Ethiopian. But my socializing there helps me a lot too in the evening. So I don't know. I find it very easy to get along. All my neighbors on my street are all white. So I do associate with a lot of diverse people all the time.
Okay, and that requires making some effort on your end.
Yes, for sure. Because again, definitely we are stereotyped. And in the US, believe it or not, you know, brown person is a brown person, meaning they can't differentiate us between Iraqis, Iranis, Indian, Pakistani sometimes, at least 9/11 time. They didn't know any better. But over the years, the IT industry has tremendously helped us, the brown people like from India, because now they look at you and they go, are you in IT? So that kind of has helped that they look at us like, okay, these people are extremely smart and they just mean business. They come here to do good jobs and not anything else. So there has been some differentiation over the years, but it does take effort on our part to go out a little bit.
Poonam?
I think it has been difficult to make friends outside the Indian circle, I would say, because firstly, my community here is really large. My Mathur community, which is larger than anything I've ever seen, even back home. So a lot of our socializing was within the community, and it was very difficult to have anything outside. Also, because of the way we socialize, because I don't think other communities host these big dinner parties and call like 50 people over and all. It's just not their way. So along with the children. So we socialize with the whole family and they don't do that. So initially we had friends who were non-Indian, but you can only go a certain extent with them, unfortunately. But again, I would say things have changed since then. And now even the Indian community has started socializing very differently now. And things are getting better because initially it was all about these big parties where hundreds of kids running around and you're bringing these big dishes out and all you're doing is eating basically from start to finish. And that's what our socializing is about, right? I mean, that's what we do. But that's what I think was a big hurdle to reaching out to other people outside the Indian community and making friends with them. But again, that's changing. And so we do have a lot of friends and through common interests, book clubs. And like Anita said, you know, at the gym, you do tend to cultivate other friendships than outside. But those are different kinds of friendships, and which is nice. It's nice to have your Indian community go to. That's like your comfort zone. And then you have your other friends who you share. You can really be yourself with, and, you know, you don't have to do any formal kind of preparation to meet them. You just meet them at the gym or you meet them over a coffee, and it's nice. So I think we're fortunate. We have a mix of both. And that keeps us going. And that's how it's been.
Archana?
Yeah, so my response is very similar. It's a hybrid response between Anita and Poonam, I should say. So, you know, I think our Indian culture, it's a collective culture, right? So we do things together. We are very flamboyant in terms of our food, in our dress, in our festivals. And we socialize within ourselves. Of course, food is very much a part of our social scene. But it is a collective culture. So in any collective culture, we have friends, you know, Latinos, let's say all immigrants. So I find that all immigrant culture is a collective culture. So we tend to socialize within our group. And it's very hard for an outsider to be part of the group. You can only go so far. Like, I have tried to socialize, honestly, with other cultures here. But yes, you can only go so far. Right. And then after that, OK, you can meet at a coffee place, in a gym, in a workspace. It's all good. You can go for your happy hours. You can go for your dinners. That's where it stops. And that's just the way most immigrant cultures are. We tend to socialize within our own group. But our kids, now that's a different story. So for us, yes, I would say that I tend to socialize within our own culture. It's rare now where you invite them to a large social gathering at your place. So this was something which was pointed out by my kids too. How come so-and-so doesn't come to our house? And I said, well, it's a different culture. So they are as uncomfortable in entering your space as you are inviting them to your space. So it's awkwardness on both sides. So I don't think it's just one side. It's awkwardness because we are not raised here. We are raised in a different culture. But I think our kids, you know, they have like a hybrid identity. You know, they've taken the good, at least we have instilled the good, the core values of the Indian culture, but they are brought up here. And that's the diaspora they are brought up in. So they have the fusion of two cultures. And that, I think, makes a big difference. So for them, our kids, I can see them interacting and calling 50 people over in a multicultural society. But for me, no, it just would not progress. Of course, you socialize with everyone. It's not that you're not social. It's just that it just goes so far, like both Poonam and Anita pointed out. Yeah. And, you know, the major socializing and interaction is within your culture itself.
Yeah, your core group tends to be where your food is similar, your values are similar, especially the food, like we're all pointing out, because, again, we do socialize everything around food. That's the Indian way, because Atithi Devo Bhava, we've always been like that. Even our moms were like that, right? I think we all tend to be in our core group, which are very similar. For me, like my core group tends to be my Marwari group. Then there's a mix of other Indian, you know, then there would be the outside of that. But your core group tends to be where your food and your festivals and all that like line up like completely.
Yeah, agree with all of you. But I also think, like Archana mentioned, that our children will have a different experience and they believe they are not like us. They are striding or taking their place in that world and taking ownership of it. They believe that they have the right to be there. Somewhere I think we have that imposter syndrome where we think perhaps we are not right. And also in trying to fit in, I think I found it remarkably difficult. I'd say, you know, the first part of the 10 years that I was here, I was just raising kids, right? Raising kids and working long hours. I didn't have time to socialize with people who were not very interested in engaging with me. So, you know, then the Indian community is your natural backstop. It's your default positioning. But generally, I'd say I have tried later on also to do that and haven't found it very successful. I think you can socialize outside, meet them outside, go for a drink outside of work. But I think there is a big barrier to becoming good friends and to be able to invite someone home, because I think a big part of our cultural identity is, I think we're very generous, very giving. We want people to come in, and possibly people don't understand that this is what is expected of them. But generally, I think it's probably that which is a barrier. And I find that myself at this juncture at 54 years old of having to really think about who my friends are. And someone who's not within the community. Such interesting conversations. Is your mother tongue important to you? And do your children speak the language? Archana, I remember you referring to this at some point. I'd be very interested to hear. You know, so most Indians are bilingual, at least.
Yeah, most Indians are bilingual and sometimes really multilingual. Like, let's take our example. You know, we all raised in Pune. We went to school together. And we came from different parts of the country. So my mother tongue is Tulu. But if I spoke in Tulu in Pune, nobody would communicate with me, right? Because they don't understand the language. So for me, language is really a tool for communication. And mother tongue is a method of communication within the community. So when I speak with my parents or go back to my community for the summer vacation, yes, you speak in your mother tongue. But when you're living in a community outside your zone, so to say, like just an example, living in India, in Pune, we spoke Marathi and Hindi because that was what was accepted in that city. So to be honest, to me, it was speaking English was a sign of acceptance in the US. So I taught my kids English. I did not teach them my mother tongue, or you know, even though Neeraj and me, we are from two different regions in the country, we did not teach them Hindi. But saying that, this has upset my daughter a lot when she grew up. So she pointed this out and she said, that's a mistake you made, Mom, because understanding a language or speaking the language, I would say Hindi, for example, that's what is understanding the culture. So if I understand a language, I have an insight or window into the culture itself. So she took that extra step in college to take Hindi as a language and learn that, because she said that is very important for your self-identity. I did not see it raising the kids, but this was really pointed out to me.
That's so interesting, right? Now our kids are struggling with the idea of their identity, who they are and where they belong and what is the language that they speak.
You take a step back, and my daughter did go ahead and learn the language. And it's, of course, not perfect, but nobody's is perfect.
Poonam?
Yeah, so in my situation, because I came into a joint family, my in-laws lived with us. So because they're from North India, we spoke a lot of Hindi at home. In fact, my Hindi improved after coming to Canada. So it was so funny that I was speaking a lot more Hindi in Canada than I ever did back in Pune. You know, in Pune, we only spoke in English. So even at home, I only spoke Hindi to my grandmother. Even with my parents, it was always English. So it was quite funny. And my kids, the first 2 years of their life, they only spoke in Hindi at home till they started going to school. And I found that became a bit of an obstacle, because when they went to school, they couldn't speak a word of English. So they struggled in kindergarten. So I did not think that was such a great idea, because they had a rough time in the initial years assimilating, like in kindergarten and all. So language is very important to me, and it's been very important to my children. But I would say it's not a deal breaker for me. They do appreciate knowing the language. My older son speaks fluent Hindi, and my younger one can speak too. I think they've appreciated knowing the language. It's given them a sense of identity. It's helped them appreciate our culture a bit better. They understand the movies, the dialogues. They don't need the subtitles. They're getting it. They're getting the jokes. They really get the language, and they make a play of words. And my older son will always pick up some new words and bring it into the conversation. So in that sense, it's been really good that they have had the language. But I would say initially it was a little bit of a, you know, challenge for them just being Hindi speaking. But overall, I think it gave them a good sense of identity.
Anita?
So we spoke Hindi at home in Pune. And luckily, my husband's family also speak in Hindi in Mumbai. So my husband and me, we do converse in Hindi. That's our primary language. So the kids have picked up. The older one, if needed, can converse a little bit. Like when she went to India alone one time, she could get by. The younger one, don't know. She doesn't speak it, but she has heard it all her life. So maybe it's there retained. A lot of parents over here in Dallas, at least, are teaching their kids now, of course, to read and write Hindi. I did a community service project for 2 years where I gathered the community, kids, whoever wanted to come learn to speak and write Hindi. And we did that for 2 years. But my older one, she once had gone to India and got very interested in the billboards everywhere in Hindi. And she's like, what is that? And so I had a little time. I just wrote IEE and kakagaga for her and gave it to her. But her retention is pretty good. And she learned. She learned the whole alphabets in that one trip and started reading billboards. And she has still retained that. But I did not do a whole lot to force them to speak Hindi at home, because I also saw some kids who spoke only Hindi, like how Poonam is saying, a little bit difficulty in kindergarten. So like Archana, I didn't make a whole lot of effort, and just, you know, whatever they inherited, that's good enough for me.
Okay, so moving on to the question, what are the values and cultural norms that you admire in your local community or in the country that you live in and have adopted? Anita, would you like to start?
So what I find is the people in the U.S., especially women, man, they know how to live life. They know, you know, what is me life. They find ways to have avenues to go do what they want to do. And I admire that. And I am trying, now that my responsibilities are kind of done with the younger ones now in college, I have never done a solo trip. And I have been trying to work up there. And I was like, 2020, I'm going to do a solo trip, and didn't happen. And then now 2021, I'm thinking, and it's still not in the works, but they know how to live life that I would love to embrace. We get stuck in our, again, values, which are good values, like, you know, family and all that. And you kind of create your own shackles in a way. And no matter that the kids are older and independent and stuff, you still feel like, oh no, it's my motherly duty to jump in there and meddle in and all that stuff. And I need to learn from these ladies that I have done what I needed to, and now it's my time. Yeah. And I am last few months working on it mentally to get there so I can break the norm. I haven't been able to yet, and I would really love to.
Poonam?
There's quite a few things, frankly, I've learned in Canada. I've learned to be a lot more tolerant to so many things, which I wasn't. I would say coming from India, I had a lot of prejudices and, oh no, this shouldn't be this way and this is not right. And I had a lot of inhibitions because that's how we grew up, right? I mean, we had so many of these prejudices. I think over here, the great thing about the society is that everyone's on an equal footing, pretty much. Doesn't matter if you're the mayor of the city. Like, I was on a bus once with the mayor of Toronto. Like, she was taking public transport to get to work. So just that. And the other thing I would say is the work ethic. Nothing is looked down upon here. You know, you could be working in retail. You could be a house cleaner. And you can still do that with dignity. So yeah. I think that is something very unique. That's one thing I've learned and I really appreciate about the society here, that there's a lot of dignity of labor and you're on an equal footing.
Archana?
Yeah, so Indian culture, I should say, it's a collective culture. So we tend to socialize within ourselves. But here, what I found is it's a very individualistic culture where, as you know, both Poonam and Anita have pointed this out, from a very young age, you're encouraged, okay, you should work hard. If you want to succeed at a task, you know, you take up a task and you succeed at that task. If you want to accomplish something, just go for it. You don't need a community blessing to do a task. At a workplace, I was more of a silent type because, you know, that's just a part of a culture. And here it was, if you want to say something, speak up and make your point known. So I think that's very positive aspect, which we really have taken and, you know, adopted and really enjoyed that aspect of it. So now, you know, I do a lot more activities in the past, you know, just raising the kids and learning from them, to be honest, and then just adopting the same principles into the day-to-day life. A lot of travel, but if you're into history or if whatever, you know, attracts you, for me, it was history. I love seeing places. So I said, okay, let's just go for it. So I have taken up more activities at an individualistic level rather than a collective, you know, for the community. So that's something I really appreciated in the culture here and adopted. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are some very interesting points from Anita, from Poonam, from you. We tend to put our families first. And I think we've grown up with the idea of the supermom and also the Bharatiya Nari, who is always giving, always doing, always stretching herself for whatever reason. I think finally we've come to that age where we can say, okay, no, we're not going to do this anymore. And not everything is going to stop, but some things I think you are going to put yourself before you put others. What is the one thing from your culture that you would like people wherever you're staying to know more about?
So I think our culture is so very diverse, and I would definitely like the people here to know how diverse our culture is. And we have the mantra going today in the workplace or even in the community. It's all about teamwork. It's a hybrid, moving away from that individualistic culture to a teamwork culture. And I feel the Indian culture is all about teamwork. We look out for each other as a community and you go forward as a community. So I would really want everyone to know that we have a very diverse culture and it promotes teamwork, which is really a blend of what's here in the States and what's there in the Indian subcontinent.
Lovely. Anita?
I feel that in general, the world needs to know, or in the US, people look at other cultures. If you're not white, basically, and especially you're a minority, then you're a troublemaker in some way or the other. Oh, you're from a different country, so you are taking away your jobs. And that's a big thing for the Indian community of the IT sector. I would really like for them to understand that we are hardworking people. And so to not look at the minority, just not the Indians, just the minorities in general, to not look at us so adversely, like we are peace and harmony people and US is a land of opportunity. We're just here just as an equal opportunist. And so first get away from the stereotype that, oh, are you guys only engineers, doctors and lawyers? And then educate why we are who we are. And it has come with a lot of not just hard work, but staying away from our family, sacrificing a lot to be here so that we have the opportunity and our children have the opportunity. They sometimes don't understand that.
That's an interesting point. Poonam?
I think one of the parts of our culture which I'm reconnecting with and I find so fascinating and I think can be a big contribution to people, not just here, but I think all over the world, is our spirituality and our mythology. And so that was one part of it. And the mythology, like, for example, the Mahabharata and reading the Gita again, like how it's all reinforced. I wish like I could even teach it just to my kids. And I do talk to them. We have these conversations now because I feel that can be such a powerful tool in leading your life. There's so many lessons there. And it's not all black and white. There's so many shades of gray in Mahabharata, for instance. It gets you thinking and it's so relevant even now. There's such a big lesson behind all those stories that we grew up listening to. I've kind of been going back to a lot of that. And I think that's one big contribution we can make. And I'm not talking about like the commercialized, you know, version of spirituality and our mythology, but, you know, just the basic level, how we grew up listening to those stories and how they influenced us. I always enjoy that moral science class, even though it was kind of preachy when you think about it. But I feel those tools we grew up with, we had, have really helped us, you know, adapt here and cope with situations and make us who we are. And that's one valuable contribution we could make to society here.
Wow, that's super interesting. Yeah, we all went to a convent school and we used to go to church. And like you mentioned, when you talk about Ramayana and Gita, I don't really look at them as religious works. I look at them as great literary pieces with fantastic learning. Coming to the last question, do you actively celebrate your culture? Do you dip in and dip out, or are you passive bystanders or totally removed from it? We have become incidentally removed from a lot of our cultural activities. And this happened because I moved back to India. So the engagement that happens as a family stopped. And then when I came back, I was just like, okay, no, I can't go back to doing those things. We do celebrate Diwali. I celebrate it with my kids. And we light diyas and we have food and we dress up, etc. But it's not as big as it used to be when they were younger. What is it with you? Poonam, would you like to go?
Yes, I've never celebrated festivals the way I did in Canada. The kids are dancing, the adults are dancing, and there's a lot of food and everything. And it's, I would say, very Bollywood based, because that's all it was about. It's like a Bollywood talent show, and everybody was very happy. And that went on for years, and my kids were growing up with that and, you know, participating, and I'm pushing them along. But over the years, it's made me question, is this what our festivals are all about? And aren't we like losing the whole meaning of the festival somewhere? It's just becoming one big Bollywood fair. And I remember my younger son, he stopped going. One day he just said, I'm not going to these things, because he said, Mommy, what does Bollywood dancing have to do with Diwali? And that got me thinking, and I'm like, okay, no, this is not what Diwali is. Maybe Diwali is the way we celebrated it, you know, at home. We did our little puja and we lit diyas. And so I would say I've gone back quite a bit to that. And even things like Karwa Chauth, initially I used to head out in my sari with 20 other friends and we'd do this big thing. Now it's a very personal thing. Now I guess I'm veering more towards the meaning of the festival and making it a little simpler, a very simple, basic thing where it's just me and my husband and I do the puja and I still like to do it. So I think that has changed. And the festivals do mean a lot to me, and it does bring my family together. We sit as a family and I try to do that. And I find the kids actually enjoy it. And this way we bond a lot better when we just keep it to our family. And of course, the events around Diwali where you're meeting other people, and that's part of the festival too. You meet to play tash and you meet with other friends. But on Diwali day, we just keep it to ourselves. And I'm focusing more on the meaning now and the significance of the festival.
Anita?
So pretty much like Poonam, we are still doing that. So we're still doing the Bollywood Fair. And so we have four different festivals that we celebrate. So one is Diwali, one is Karwa Chauth, one is Gangor, and one is Tej in our Marwari community. So they are big affairs. Out of that, Gangor is just a ladies only at lunch. And it gives us actually, all these four do give us a way of meeting each other, you know, dress up in our ways and, you know, the typical Marwari dishes and all that comes out. And then like Poonam, Diwali day, I don't even leave my home, because that was what my mom and my grandma always talked about, that Lakshmi is actually coming in the house. So I leave my doors open and I don't leave the house. So Diwali is a very personal affair. And no matter where my kids are, they make sure so far they've come home on Diwali day. So mine is a very combination part. I am no way ever been a bystander. I have my hands dug in into it because I love it. But again, like Poonam, lately I've been feeling, man, it's just too many people. And the kids are not there. They don't want to come anymore. And I too am questioning, just like Poonam, like, do I really want to be in these big, big things?
Archana?
Yeah, growing up, we always celebrated all festivals on a small scale, even in Pune. It was never a large scale as a family. That's not what we did. And the beauty of growing up there and in going to a Catholic school, like we all did, we also celebrated all the other cultures. Like we celebrated Christmas, we celebrated the Hindu culture, we celebrated the Muslim cultures. It was such a celebration of all cultures there. So I think that's what I took when I came to the States. And we celebrate all the cultures in a small scale. So during Diwali, we celebrate Diwali. During Christmas, we put up the Christmas tree. So my kids have grown up in such a multicultural environment, even at home. I don't know how much my kids will take it forward, but the exposure is there to all the festivities within the Indian culture, but also other festivities among other cultures. So like I said, they just have a hybrid identity. And I really believe that to the similar culture that we have grown up back home, inclusive of all communities and enjoying festivities of all communities, I think they will take it forward, just enjoying festivities of all communities within the States.
What a wonderful conversation this has been. Thank you very much, Archana, Anita, and Poonam, for spending your Saturday morning with me, sharing your thoughts about what culture means to you, and also your experiences as the Indian diaspora.
Thank you, Sada.
Thanks, Sada.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Elephant in the Room podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on any of your favorite platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. And if you enjoyed listening to the podcast today, don't forget to write a review and tell your friends. Sign up on the link in the show notes to receive updates on our guest speakers, blogs, and events. And don't forget to tune in every Thursday for new episodes.